o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. We'll have some of the audio from Matt LaFleur. Thanks to Rob Domofsky, who sent that along so I could transcribe my portion of the conversation and we could run some audio on our show.
With an actual microphone this time.
I'm still not sure that. Is that true?
It sounds like it compared to what we were seeing clips of on social media earlier today. Surprised you didn't want to go stand outside next to a diesel truck to do this press conference today.
That would improve the quality of the sports centers, that's for sure. So
I don't know about that. That might be a bridge too far.
So Michael Rodney on Twitter, taking the link to my story about Elgton Jenkins moving to center and Rashid Walker versus Jordan Morgan at left tackle. There will be no competition at left tackle. Walker plays the position better in the NFL than Morgan played it in college. I can't speak to that, and I don't know Michael's background either, but the next part I think is interesting. The Walker disrespect is mind-boggling. The guy had a better 2024 season than most of the team's highest-paid players and former number one draft picks. I think I might agree with that.
Yeah, now, I'm not going to argue with...
Joe Thomas. No one is confusing Rashid Walker for Joe Thomas.
But he was not...
He's not a bum.
Was there ever a game where you thought, what a liability?
No. He had some penalties early. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and I mentioned that earlier in the show. But the deal is you have to constantly earn and push. And when you draft a guy with a first-round pick that has stated he wants to be a left tackle, that's where he played, and you're going to open that up. Life ain't fair, man. And Sheed will have a chance to knock out that left tackle spot and keep it, but he is going to have to he's going to have to be really good. And I think he has been a really consistent, good football player. And there will be no shame and I don't think anybody would be upset if Sheed holds him off and he is the left tackle. But I think this is the part that, the economics of football come into play. Mm-hmm. Zach Tom's going to get paid in a monster way sometime in the next 5-6 months prior to the season starting. Are they going to – they just paid Banks bonko dollars. They're going to have to figure something out with Elgton. They're not paying five spots top dollar.
No, they're not.
So is Rashid Walker going to be a $15, $20 million a year left tackle? Maybe.
For someone
else.
But
if he plays really well –
he's going to be even more.
He'll be – somebody else will. And then, everybody will say, well, then trade him and get picks and all that. We don't know if Jordan Morgan can play that spot. So that's not going to be in play. If Rashid Walker plays big boy football this year, he will get a big boy contract next year. If he doesn't, Jordan Morgan's going to take over, and he's got to be in year two of a 5-year deal, and that's how this all works. And, yeah, I agree with the second half of the Rodney tweet that I think Rashid Walker plays left tackle. He's fine. But – all of these other factors are in play, and I think Green Bay is going to draft an O-lineman pretty early in this year's draft, too, to add more into that, the whole depth part of this. I don't think you're going to see Zach Tom and Rashid Walker being the starting tackles after this season, regardless of how this all shakes out with Jordan Morgan.
Why, and I think I know the answer to this, but why were the Packers able to keep you and Chad Clifton together? Was it
being hurt?
Yeah.
I think that obviously helped, but that was also a long time ago. It's just a different – I think we're looking at it in a kind of a different sphere than what it was 25 years ago.
Well, all I know is that Rashid Walker has played some pretty good football for them, and this would indicate to me – that their thought process is, if he wins the job this year, great. If not, he'll be the swing tackle, and then somebody else can pay him. That's what this says to me. Because otherwise, Like, you're not taking this approach. LaFleur talked about the offensive line at breakfast this morning. This was in response to a question about the running game and the production from Josh Jacobs and the offensive line's role in that. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say about the offensive line.
We're excited about Banks coming in and then moving out and back to center. So we feel like we have a lot of pieces. There's going to be some good competition at a lot of spots. But you got to recreate it each and every year. And the only way you do that is you get to work. And we got to just that continuity of getting the starting five out there. And it's not just those guys. It's the tight ends. It's our wide receivers, and I think our wideouts do as good as anybody in the run game in terms of blocking.
So here's my question, Tausch, when it comes to competition, because I get it. Competition brings out the best in players and everything else. Is there a fine line, though, between making guys feel appreciated and respected and creating competition? Like, I know it's standards over feelings at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And it has to motivate Rasheed Walker that this is the decision and this is the direction they're going. But is there any room? Are you allowed to feel like you've been a little disrespected here? Or is that just, you just can't allow yourself to think that way as an NFL player? Because I certainly would think that way if I was him.
Absolutely. You use that as fuel. I think that for Rasheed, he's no. This has been his career. Nobody has ever said and crowned him as the guy. He's a seventh-round pick. He obviously was a little bit dinged up and didn't probably get drafted as high as he thought he should.
Mm-hmm.
So he's disrespected there. And you utilize that and say, blank you. You want people to come around and say, man, you've worked and done it. And he did that, and again, the surprise to me was that last year, 2 days into training camp, it was basically, it's Sheed's job, let's roll. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of that was they didn't like Sean Ryan. They didn't like his conditioning, and they thought, there's more there to kind of push. Obviously now, they look at Sean Ryan as somebody that finished the season strong, and they think, Jordan Morgan's better suited to be out there and competing with Sheed. So, yeah, Rasheed Walker should look at this as a slap to, you know, I guess as a disrespectful play, even though it's part of the business. Like it just is. And unless you're an established guy with a big boy contract, you're going to have to go through this every year. And I think it's healthy. Anytime you're starting to feel yourself a little bit and thinking that you've arrived, usually something will happen to kind of bring you back down to reality.
Mm-hmm.
Sheed is just, you know, he could look at it as a blessing. He's never going to have that until he gets paid by somebody. He's never going to have the opportunity to say, oh, this is my spot up. It ain't going to be this year. It's going to be, I'm going to fight, I'm going to claw, and I'm going to win this job again. And I'm going to keep telling you guys, I'm your best option out here to win games. And until you do that enough that they say no mas, that's going to be the life he lives.
It is a contract year for him as well, so he is not lacking for reasons of motivation, that's for sure. But when you've started each of the last 2 years at left tackle, to be told that your job is now up for grabs again, we'll see how he uses that to fuel himself and get to where he wants to go. Are you a skeptic on Jordan Morgan? We have very little data on him.
We don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I feel like he's definitely going to be. I think if all things are equal, Rasheed Walker would be the heavy favorite, but that's not the
world
that
aren't
the
equal.
NFL is.
Yeah.
Well, except for overtime rules now, I guess. That part's equal. But this is not going to be equal. Sheed is going to have to. You're basically. Sheed's going to have to do some catching up, which sounds crazy because he has done this.
He's the incumbent, right?
I understand, but that's not the. All of the indicators are pointing to we want to give. they drafted Jordan Morgan because they like his tangible numbers, what he can do, how he moves, and I think he's shown that he can be a pretty good player when he's been healthy. He missed a bunch of time last year. He has not been outside. He hasn't played that position in the NFL, and it is a different world than when you're playing Pac-12, or I think it was Pac-12 at the time when he was playing. And you're playing against some guys that, you know, aren't as good. When you're playing in the NFL, it is every snap. You can't have any lapses. And until you're out there doing it, it's a different animal that you're going to have to deal with.
Well, he was the first-round pick last year. Speaking of the draft, Verizon is giving you the chance to win the ultimate draft experience with the Road to the Draft sweepstakes. 10 lucky winners will win tickets to the first day of the 2025 NFL Draft here in Green Bay, including round-trip car service from Milwaukee, hotel accommodations, plus access to the Verizon viewing zone where you'll be taken care of like a first-round pick. So don't miss your chance to win the ultimate draft experience powered by Verizon. Hurry in to select Wisconsin Verizon locations and enter by April 13th. Official rules and full details can be found at ESPNWisconsinContest.com. No purchase necessary. You must be a legal U.S. resident of Wisconsin or Illinois and age 21 or older to participate. We'll hear more from Matt LaFleur at breakfast at the Breakers at the NFL meetings. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So our buddy Rob Domofsky asked the question of Matt LaFleur. Wouldn't it be something if Aaron Rodgers ended up with the Vikings?
Bold.
It is one of the boldest things he's done in a while. I'm surprised he didn't have Seth Walder do it for him. Here is how that exchange went.
Yeah, how would you feel about Aaron Rodgers playing in the division for the Vikings if that came to fruition?
It'd be a hell of a story, wouldn't it, Rob?
It would be. What about from a competitive standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, there's great players in every team, so, you know, if it works out, it works out. But it's not something that, like, I'm going to sit there and constantly think about. Sure, you think about it the week of when you're playing somebody, but if it works out, great for them.
Well done, Rob. Secondly, yeah. I'm not saying that he's hoping that it happens like I am, but I appreciate him acknowledging what a great story it would be. Can you imagine how irritated he'd be the week of Packers-Vikings when all the questions were about Rodgers playing quarterback? He doesn't hide irritation very well.
No, but I think one of the things you're going to hear and see is that I was very hard on Matt LaFleur last year with the emotional whatever he was doing, firing flags and just hoping and wishing and thinking. Oh, I think he is going to take a big step this off. I think it's something he is going to focus on and understand that sets the tone for his football team. Mm-hmm. So for as much as I would love, you know, the drama and everything else, I want to see this team win.
Sure.
And win in a big way. I think he needs to be better, and I think he acknowledges that. And I saw some other quotes that he said about making sure he take emotion out of things. He had a conversation with his wife. I don't know if we'll get that audio, but I saw that clip. And I think that's going to be just as important as a lot of the other things that this team is going to do, because for Matt LaFleur, it's his football team. You know, the Aaron Rodgers portion of it, okay, it was, you know, a battle, whose team, and all of a sudden. Aaron's obviously a big personality. The Jordan Love component and how he approaches it and how he's handling it, I think he needs to make a big step, and I'm guessing the Rodgers part of it, if he does end up in Minnesota, all that shouldn't matter to him, and I don't want it to matter to him. He can do what he wants privately, but publicly, and how he does this as the front forward facing person for this organization, it does matter. And I think he needs to be better, and I think he is working to be better.
Mm-hmm. And that's all you can ask, right? Like, if you acknowledge that you got to be better and then you work to get better, what more can we ask of you, right?
You got to be better. I mean, you can say all the right things, and if mm-hmm. you're still bad, it's kind of... So it's one thing to say. It's another thing to go do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to see Matt LaFleur kind of grow in that part of it, because I like his fire. I want to see him. I don't want to see him as a wallflower.
No.
But I don't want to see him fire the flag and, like, get choked up when a bad call happens. Like, I don't want to see that either.
Jumping up and down when the official doesn't see a call, a timeout.
There's some things. Well,
I was on board with that.
I want to see there is a fine line. He's been way too far on the other side of it. Get it to even. I'm not asking you to be, you know, the
your elevators of your emotions.
I want to see you grow into more maturity. You can still yell at a ref. I don't mind yelling at a ref, but firing a flag on a play you know ain't going to get one on a challenge because you're mad, it doesn't do you any good, and then it just sets a cascade of events for your players to say, oh, no. Take the excuses out of it. Find ways to accomplish what you're looking to do.
All right, we've got more from Matt LaFleur's breakfast at the NFL meetings. We also will talk more about what Rob has written this week, some interesting stuff.
Is it
stuff.
Rude for those coaches to eat?
No, they don't eat.
They're talking to you guys.
So
do they eat prior to it, or they eat after?
I don't know when they eat, because that used to be our big joke back when I used to go to this every year. McCarthy would always give me a hard time because I'd be sitting there with a plate of eggs, bacon, and fruit, and he'd be sitting there with his coffee. How the hell don't we get to eat?
Very, very, very frustrating.
Mike, you can eat all you want. I don't mind if you eat while you answer my questions, but the people that are filming it, you know, it won't be all that flattering. So he chose to drink coffee.
I was thinking if LaFleur had, like, eggs get cold real fast. Like, if you take your time eating breakfast, that kind of stinks.
Yeah, look.
I think you got to do oatmeal. If you're LaFleur, you got to do oatmeal.
I'm not interested in how they feel or whether they're getting fed or not, because they have cut these now from an hour to a half hour. And it's not like these guys are available all the time. What used to be great about this was that you could leave for a minute or two and go get another coach if you had a question for them. Or since I had an NFC coach, I would go to the AFC breakfast. And when Joe Philbin was the Dolphins coach, or I got questions into Bill Belichick. Now,
scouting out in the bathroom, who's washing their hands?
Exactly. Look at you. Memories. Like the corner of my mind. All right. I want to get to some of the other things that LaFleur had to say. Because, again, there's a lot. This is a pivotal year for a lot of people involved, including him and Goody and Love and everybody else. So we'll get to that coming up. Want to remind you that ESPN's Fantasy Focus football podcast is coming to Green Bay on April 23rd. Field Yates, Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are doing a live show at our Tundra Trio. And ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend up to Green Bay to see the show happen live. Right now, caller number 10 at 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, wins two tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Live at the Tundra Trio. You get to see the show up close, meet all the hosts, and get complimentary food, beverages, and fantasy football advice. Plus, some Fantasy Focus Football Podcast merch. That's caller 10 right now at 844-770-3776. Visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com for full details. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. I told you when you asked, I knew this wouldn't last. At least I could be honest
about the honest stuff. And now you're telling everyone. Tausch, how often would you say we're ahead of the curve? You and me. More often than not?
Depends on what sense, if you're asking me.
Yeah, there's 100 things that we talk about. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure either. But then again, I wasn't really asking for specific.
Why are you asking?
We've somehow been both ahead and behind on the video stream compared to some of our other shows. So I don't know what to think of that.
I was more thinking about the international dateline conversation that we were having.
Ahead and behind, yeah. That's good.
So, yeah. Because I think we were ahead of the curve in our view of what the Packers' offense may look like. And you made the point that you don't pay a guy $55 million. This cup of coffee you just handed to me. You don't pay a guy $55 million to just be a game manager. Or do you?
But
with how things have played out at wide receiver this offseason, maybe this will be a more Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Chipotle Ben focused offense.
It's not going to be Chipotle Ben. Okay, let's just.
Why are you always hating on my guy?
I ain't hating on him, but if Chipotle Ben has a monster role on this football team, no offense to Chipotle Ben.
This is totally offensive to Chipotle Ben.
No, it's not.
Also, why can't you say Chipotle? You always say Chipotle.
Pote-le.
Yeah, but I think it's spelled differently.
It's not, actually. But be that as it may.
You're not the only one who says Chipotle instead of Chipotle, but it is properly said Chipotle.
And they have ice cream now. So here is what Rob Domofsky asked Matt LaFleur about the tight end position in his offense.
Could a tight end be a number one receiver in your offense?
I think anything is possible. I would never limit it to just being a wide receiver.
As good as Tucker was, do you want to get him?
Yeah, you know, the challenging thing, I think, just when you look at us, and especially in the pass game, there are a lot of times where Tuck is in there in a chip position, chipping, then releasing to the flat. And in a perfect world, you'd love to get five out on every play. I just think that dependent upon who you're playing, some of these edge rushers in this league, and it's not only edge rushers, obviously you saw when we played Philly, the interior D linemen were pretty spectacular that they had. And bottom line is, in order to throw the football, you got to be able to hold up in protection. Our quarterback has to, you know, we always talk about reading with your feet and getting the ball out in the rhythm and the timing of the play. So, again, a lot of variables to it.
Tausch, what do you make of that relatively long answer in which he didn't really commit to anything?
Tucker Kraft's going to be their number one with the receiving the football. Unless something crazy happens, Tyreek Hill or something else, which, God, I hope that doesn't happen. Tucker Kraft's going to be the guy. And it's going to come from play action, but you can have a tight end. It doesn't mean he'll have the most catches per se, but he is going to be a number one option for your offense. That's what I want to see. That's what should have been probably seen more of last year, because he was an absolute dog, and he was the most consistent player in the pass-catching realm that we saw last year. And now I know you got Chipotle Ben, and you know Luke Musgrave is somebody. I'll be curious to see how they balance.
Me too.
Running more 12 personnel. You want to get those other wideouts. You still feel like you have to let these guys grow. How you balance that, going to be kind of an interesting little Rubik's Cube for Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich to figure out. So this is going to be a run the football play action pass team, but that doesn't mean Jordan Love, again, I was shocked when you told me that stat a couple weeks after the season about the explosives because it didn't feel that way. I want it to feel that way too. And that means in big games we see that, and not just when you're ahead by 20 points against the New Orleans Saints on a Monday night. Let's see it in the big boy games too. And that's where I think Tucker Kraft is going to need to be the guy. I think as this roster sits here right now, he needs to be the number one threat in the passing game.
So one addendum to that, as much as I want to get Chipotle Ben more playing time, because this was part of the breakfast that I transcribed, this stuck out to me, and I don't know if we have the audio, so I'm just going to read it because I'm curious how you get a player that is wired like Tucker Kraft to change or at least be a little bit smarter with the way he plays the game. Here's what Matt LaFleur said. One thing is evident when you watch. When Tuck gets the ball, usually good things happen. Great quote. He's a powerful dude. He runs extremely hard. I love how he finishes. One thing I think he's got to learn, just in terms of when he does finish, that he doesn't have to try to take somebody's head off every time. He gets a little out of control at times. I think there's a balance, but the mentality is exactly what we want. That's just something that we've talked about, is just being a little more under control and picking and choosing when he can take his shots.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Because I think it's really smart. Well, I also think that sounds hard.
Well, it's really tough to pull back the reins. But, again, you ask any jockey and or horse trainer, you would prefer to have that be the case than having to continue to kind of really
slap,
prod
to get
going. So I always look at it, just be smarter, right? Work smarter. You don't always have to work harder. I don't want Tucker to change his mentality.
No.
What I want is for him to understand, hey, you don't need, if it's, you picked up the first down, and you don't need to truck a safety when you're going out of bounds just because you can. Now, I love what that tells the opposing team is, hey, man, you're in for it. Bring it. But I want him to be healthy. I don't think he was fully healthy. I know, obviously, he started the season off not healthy. But even late in the year, I don't think he was fully healthy. You know, everybody's dealing with stuff. But that's what Matt LaFleur is talking about, is figuring out, pick your spots. Just like Jordan Love running the football. Pick your spots. Find the times when you need it, and you don't need to be a hero. Pick up the first down, slide, move on with your life. Wide receivers have gotten a lot, especially those, you know, little slot guys, have gotten a lot smarter about ducking down, picking up the first down, moving on with your life. You don't need to take the big boy hits just because you can. And I think that's what Matt LaFleur is talking about.
All right. There's a few more things that Matt LaFleur talked about at breakfast that I want to get to. Plus, I know Jesse's got a little game of Did You Hear This and some of the stuff that Rob Domofsky wrote this week. We want to get to all that. Coming up, I want to remind you, some of our cousin subs of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. We're in the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios. I tell you about Gruber Law Offices all the time, and I always tell you, I certainly hope you never have to call them, because then you've never been seriously injured in an accident, and that's a good thing. But if that disaster does happen to you, you want to make sure you have the best team on your side, and that is Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website gruber-law.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch, straight ahead. Stick around.
We're on the Packers.
If they're not better this year,
because we're on Wisconsin sports,
there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Hold on, I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone. Like when you're gone for good, you're slipping through my fingertips a little bit by a little bit.
Since Tausch enjoys the rule change conversation.
Oh, Art Rooney got a good feeling about Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers. Old Artsky. I tried to tell you, McAfee's got his big live show in Pittsburgh. Like, just put two and two together, people.
All right, well,
he's
going to
announce it at the big live show. Come on.
That's not what we're talking about right now. What we are going to talk about.
My bad.
The people don't like when we talk about Rodgers.
We're going to talk about.
I understand, but I find it interesting. So,
well, that's important. We want you to do things that are interesting, and it is interesting, just not right now. Because I want to wrap up our little kind of Matt LaFleur hour with how the draft is impacting the offseason program, because I am curious what you think of this. Here's Matt LaFleur talking about how the draft being in Green Bay impacts starting the offseason program for the existing players.
Well, I think we're a long way from even like getting to that point. You know, it'll be exciting to get the guys back in. We're going to have to maximize our time this offseason. It's just with the draft being in Green Bay, we're bringing the guys in a week later than everybody else. We're going to do the first week virtually, and then we'll hit the ground running. We're probably going to cut it a week early as well. I just think the totality of an NFL season is a long time, so I want to give those guys a chance to get away before we come back. But when we are together, we're going to have to maximize that time and try to, you know, create the best offseason we possibly can.
Dude, it's April 1st. You would have been back for the offseason program 2 weeks ago.
I just laugh when I hear you got to maximize the time. We're going to start a week late, and we're going to leave
a week early.
It's like me maximizing my time
working on this show.
Coach
Jesse Nelson offseason. Yeah, it's the Jesse Nelson offseason program.
Skim a little here, a little there. We're good.
And occasional Wednesdays.
The nice part is your offense, you know, right? You're gonna do some different things, and I think whether you're going to try and figure out some duo run play action stuff and maybe more not out of shotgun, there's things. But this isn't some earth-shattering thing. I just thought it was blank and hilarious when you talk about maximizing stuff and then literally you don't even finish. There's not even a semicolon in the sentence. And it says, but then we're going to leave a week early. And there's probably going to be a couple of OT, a couple of bowling or something else that the team's going to do. So it basically is telling you the off-season program, it is important, but it's not as important as everybody likes to make it out to be.
So I thought that you would get a kick out of that because, again, back in your day, way back in the old days of the early 2000s, you guys were back for the off-season program like March 15th. These guys won't be back until May. May! Must be rough.
Is there a breadcrumb of some type there with them saying that they're going to leave early? Like, does that mean they're starting? Like, are they in the Hall of Fame game or something that they would leave
That's a really interesting observation.
Jesse!
With Sterling Sharp going into the hall, Mike Holmgren not, which is ridiculous. Good question, Jesse. Very good question.
I think Jesse just broke some news.
When news breaks, Jesse's here to fix it.
Call Brust and get it confirmed. And since he's the newsbreaker on this on our team, call him. And I think Jesse's probably right. I think they probably got wind that they're going to be playing in that Hall of Fame game, a fourth preseason game. And they're going to probably do a couple of joint practices. Get out of Dodge. Get out of there early. Jesse, I love busting your chops. I think you're onto something here. I do.
So the Hall of Fame class is not a very large one, right? Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, and Sterling Sharp.
Packers Chargers.
Might be something there.
Packers Vikings. Oh. Aaron Rodgers taking the lead. Ah.
I thought he's playing for the Steelers, you just said, Art Rooney.
That's what Rooney said. I mean, it's gospel.
Artsky.
Not to be confused with Bartsky. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour, and we'll do that in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.